Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text from the gospel lesson for today is a continuation of our Bible class this morning. We covered the first half of the chapter in Bible class this morning, ending with the words just before our gospel text. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Unto seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." All right? Now, here's the teaching that Jesus is trying to get across. We are to be magnanimous, gracious, and forgiving to those who repent of their sins. And even towards those who don't repent of their sins, we yet must have a disposition of love toward them, to pray for them that they come to repentance so that they may be forgiven. All right? And so here, Peter thinks he's being magnanimous by offering to forgive more often than the rabbis did. The rabbis said four times is enough. All right? Peter was willing to go almost double that and seven times. And Peter here thinks that he's being very magnanimous until Jesus bursts his bubble. Jesus says, "I don't say until seven times, I say 70 times seven." In other words, Jesus is saying that you are to forgive without limit those who sin against you and repent of their sin. And even when somebody doesn't repent of their sin, you are to still love them, pray for them, and do what you can for their restoration to the faith. Okay? So, in other words, forgiveness is a really big deal in the Christian faith. If you do not forgive people, you show that you don't believe that your sins are really forgiven. So let's see how Jesus teaches this in our gospel. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto," and what he says, this is what it's like in the church, all right? "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants, and one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents, roughly $12 million. He owed him $12 million. And for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." Now, how is this like the kingdom of heaven? We must realize, every one of us who is in Christ by the grace of God, we must realize that in ourselves, apart from God's gracious salvation in Christ, we owed a debt to God that we could never hope to pay. You know, people like to grudgingly admit that they're, you know, "I'm not perfect," they say. No, you ain't. Right? "I'm not perfect." Or they say, you know, I admit that I'm a sinner. Oh, that's nice of you. Right? What Jesus is teaching us here is this. Every one of us, from the womb onward, if we consider ourselves according to our own flesh, we come out of the womb and live as utter debtors to God. We owe him what we could never begin to pay him, and we are liable of eternal damnation because of it. This is serious stuff. This is what doesn't get taught and preached in the modern church. We like to turn everything into pop psychology. We like to turn everything into positive ways of saying things so that people will be lulled into a sleepy state of good feeling. But listen, unless we understand one basic fact, everything else fails to make sense to us. You owe God a debt you can never pay. And because you owe this debt, you are liable to condemnation and eternal damnation. That's what is being taught in this first part of the text. So here's this guy, he has just learned of, he's going to be sold, he and his family are going to be sold into slavery so that at least the king can get something for all of his troubles. So the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Now, notice, here is a man who is alarmed at his condition. He's in a situation that is utterly unenviable, and he is alarmed, just as we ought to be alarmed when we consider how we sin, how easily we are led astray, and how often we fail to go in the right way. And when we consider the fact that if we are left to ourselves, we stand under a debt that can never be paid except by our damnation. And that ought to alarm us. We ought to be alarmed. We ought to be concerned about that. Just as this man, he fell down, he worshiped, he said, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. He also shows that he is sorry that he got caught, right? He's sorry, right? But notice that when he says, have patience with me, I will pay thee all, he's still thinking of himself as the one who has to get himself out of the situation. Even though he's the one who got himself into it, and so his repentance is far from perfect. You and I are used to repenting. And our repentance is far from perfect. We are not forgiven because we repented sufficiently. We are forgiven because God is gracious in Christ. That's why we are forgiven. It's not the perfection of our penitence that earns forgiveness, it is the grace of God in Christ. And so this man, he prays a very imperfect penitential prayer, one that shows that something not quite right about this repentance here, right? But we'll talk about that later. So what does the king do? The king, the Lord of that servant, was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Right? So the king was moved with compassion. He set him free and released him from the debt. Now this man was as free as a newborn baby, all right? He is free. The debt and weight of his sin has flown off of his shoulders, and he is utterly free. Right? Now, we need to add a little bit more to what is being said very briefly here. Very briefly, it says that the Lord was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That's a very brief way of saying what our catechism says with some more detail, right? In the second article of the creed, in our small catechism, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. All right? So, who are we dealing with here when it talks about the Lord? Jesus Christ. True God and true man is my Lord. Right? And he has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. So that's what I am by nature, a lost and condemned creature. Really, seriously, lost and condemned creature. He has purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Right, you see, isn't that a beautiful passage that summarizes your redemption in Christ? You see, this statement of our catechism explains the compassion of the Lord on this sinner. Because God has promised and has fulfilled his promise in sending his Son to be the Redeemer and Savior of the world, because this has been accomplished in Christ, therefore, God can show compassion upon sinners. His first act of compassion was to send his Son into the world in fulfillment of his promises. And the second thing he did was to send him to the cross to pay for our sins and to pay for our salvation with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. That, my friends, is why you and I, despite what we are by nature, we are glad in the Lord, because our sins, though they were unpayable by us, when God becomes a man and enters into the world for us, he is able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And he has redeemed us, purchased and won us, not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And why did he do this? So that I may be his own. That is, that I may belong to him, right? And live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. So, now, because of the grace of God, I belong to him. And I live under him in his kingdom of grace. And I have the opportunity of serving him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And this doesn't count for just this life. It counts for all eternity as well. All of this is summed up in our passage here in verse 27. The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. All right? That's the short version. The more full version is what is involved in the ability to do that. All right? Remember, God is a holy God. He is a just God, and he is a merciful God. In Jesus Christ, justice and mercy kiss one another. Do you see that? It's important for you to realize. All right, so now this guy's free. So what's he going to do? He's been to church. He's heard a good sermon about the grace of God, and he's taken Holy Communion. Now what's he going to do? All right. It says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, 20 bucks. Guy owes him 20 bucks. Right? He owed his master $12 million. And he was forgiven. He finds one of his fellow servants who owes him 20 bucks. And he laid hands on him. And he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant says the same thing, does the same thing as he did with the Lord. He fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So the same thing, all right? And then what happened? Here's the fatal stroke. And he would not. He wouldn't. But he went and had him cast into prison until he should pay all the debt. So instead of doing what the compassionate Lord and King did for him, he goes out, grabs somebody who owes him some measly debt, and has him thrown into debtor's prison until the debt is satisfied. So when his fellow servants, his fellow church members, saw what was done, they were sorry and they came and told their Lord all that was done. You know, when we fall into sin and act like Christians ought not to act, it not only grieves the Holy Ghost, it not only grieves our Father in heaven, but it grieves our fellow Christians as well. And so they went and they told their Lord what was done. They prayed about it. They prayed about it. And so what happens? His Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant. Wicked? Wait a minute. I come to church every Sunday. I put money in the offering plate every Sunday. I'm a pillar of the congregation. What do you mean, oh, thou wicked servant? Right? Oh, wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you asked me. To say nothing of the debt that was paid by Jesus Christ once and for all. Because you asked me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Don't you think that the proper response to being forgiven a magnificently high debt should move you to be forgiving toward others with their measly debts? Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. Some people have done bad things and they need to pay for them. Yeah, people do bad things and they need to pay for them. But you need to guard your soul against self-righteousness, and you need to guard your soul against thinking that you are the judge. And therefore, you must always remember you are a forgiven sinner set free because Jesus paid it all. That's why you are free, and that's why you live in the expectation of the coming kingdom of glory. The wicked servant, shouldst not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth with his servant and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So in other words, he was sent to hell. He was sent to hell for being unforgiving, refusing to forgive as he had been forgiven. And so what we're being taught here today is that the Christian church majors in the forgiveness of sins. Right? Now, yes, there are many people who love their sins and wish to stay in their sins, and therefore they cannot enjoy the forgiveness of sins because they won't repent. The fault is with them. They won't repent. But nevertheless, the church still preaches the gospel. The church still witnesses to that the Lord Jesus is the Savior of sinners. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we rejoice today that we stand upon the solid ground of God's grace in Christ. And we thank God for this reminder that forgiven sinners are to major in forgiving sin. We need to be forgiven. Whatever else we are, we need to be gracious and forgiving. Even when somebody doesn't repent, we are to still love them, pray for them, and do what we can to influence them back to the truth. All right? Even though they can't enjoy the forgiveness of sins because of their impenitence, we still desire and pray for their return to the faith. So the thing closes off with Jesus. He's done with his parable, and he says to Peter and to the rest of them, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." All right, so that's the application. If you refuse to forgive your brother his trespasses, then you will be sent to hell. Because when you refuse to forgive, you show that you don't really believe in the forgiveness of sin. You know, this guy probably thought that there was something nice about him. You know, that the king saw something in him, and so he cut him a break. You know, that's the way people often think. You know, somebody up there likes me for something. You know, no, it's only through Jesus Christ and through the forgiveness of sins that we are acceptable to God. So let us then hear this wonderful word of instruction to repent of our lack of forgiveness and to live by the rule that forgiven sinners forgive sinners. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.